Our scripture lessons today will be coming from the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel. I will be reading the first 9 verses of chapter 8. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his first son was Joel, and the name of the second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us, like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them, and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
So our scripture reading continues in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel as we pick up with the reading where the people have said, "Give us a king." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow the ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of the vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight battles." And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them." And Samuel then said to the people of Israel, "Each of you return home." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks. Before I get started, I just need to say that I'm going to be covering a lot of material this morning. This Bible story series that we've been doing over the summer has it's really turned into a survey of the scriptures, because we're getting cards like, "Any story about David?" We got "Any story about Moses?" So today's sermon may be more like a lecture than it is a sermon, but it's an important one for us to hear. And I will try to be quick because I'm expecting any time now a phone call from the Tampa Rays manager, Kevin Cash. Because I've been to 3 games this week and they've won all of them. And I'm sure he's going to want me to be there this afternoon, but I'll try to be fast here, okay? Now, I think this is important today because this is the Sunday before the 4th of July. It is the Sunday before Independence Day. It is the Sunday before the day we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And I would suggest that as a little homework, I'm going to be suggesting a lot of homework this morning, as a little homework, that you get a copy of the Declaration of Independence sometime between now and Wednesday, and you read the entire thing. Because after you get past the phrase of "we hold these truths to be self-evident," the majority of the Declaration of Independence is a list of grievances against the King of England. So in essence, the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate later this week is a declaration of the rejection of a king. Very much like what we just heard in the book of Samuel. The people want a king. Now, very interesting enough, you can also do a little research and find out that when the Revolutionary War was over, the people wanted to make George Washington king. And George Washington said, "No, you don't need a king." The story of David, any story about David, the card said. We've already started the story of David. We started it on our first Sunday when Kathy preached about the story of Ruth. Do you remember how that story ended? Ruth had a child who was claimed by her mother-in-law, Naomi, and the child was the great-grandfather of David. So you see, the story of David starts off with us learning in the story of Ruth that David is, what shall we say, a mixed race. He's part Moabite. That's where the story of David starts. But then we get into Samuel. Oh my God. What a fascinating story. Go home, read 1 and 2 Samuel and the first 12 chapters of 1 Kings. It is one of the most intriguing, complicated, political, and economic stories you will ever read. It is filled with intrigue and deceit and political maneuvering of different people wanting to have control over the people of Israel. And it starts right here with this reading with Samuel. Samuel is the religious leader of the country, but they don't want it. They want a king. They want somebody to go out and fight for them. They want to be like other countries. Now, I'm going to leave it to your imagination to apply any of this to what's going on in the world today, okay? They want to be like other countries and be powerful. They want a king. And so Samuel gives in and he says, okay, you're going to get a king. And they get King Saul. They're not happy with Saul. Saul does a few things that makes them unhappy. And so they want to get rid of Saul. And the story tells us that God also is unhappy with Saul. So we have the little shepherd boy who gets anointed king. We all remember the story of the shepherd boy who comes and kills Goliath the giant while he's wearing Saul's armor. And all of a sudden, David catches the imagination of the story and the people. And Saul sees an adversary in David. And so most of the whole book of 1 Samuel is about this struggle between Saul and David. And to complicate it, David, the story says this, David loves Saul's son, Jonathan, more than anything in the world. And so there's a complication in the story. Saul wants to get rid of David. David and Jonathan love one another. And as the story goes on, David ends up being a guerrilla warrior. He lives in caves with his soldiers. They go out, they raid villages to get their supplies. And by being a guerrilla warrior, he builds up the confidence of the people. And he becomes a threat to the throne of Saul. And he eventually overthrows Saul. But part of that is having to kill Jonathan. We find out in this story of David that people who get in the way of power, regardless of where they stand, will oftentimes just be eliminated. So David becomes king. And the first thing David wants to do is David understands power. And David says, well, you know, I better make sure that everybody knows God is on my side. And so he says, God, I know you're tired of living in that old ark. You need something much nicer. I mean, look at this beautiful house that I live in, and you live in an ark. Let me build you a house, God. And God says, no, thank you. I'm perfectly satisfied right where I am. Because God knows what David is up to. David wants to take the religion and wrap it in his empire. And God says, no thanks. You will not build a temple. So David says, okay. And he goes about being the king. Now, interesting enough, David has problem with women. It seems that just about every one of his wives becomes a wife of David because somebody else gets killed. David has this habit of wanting to marry women that are already married. And somehow in the story, people die in order for David to be married to the women that he wants to be married to. This comes back on him, on his whole family. Because he has two sons and a daughter. And one of his sons rapes his daughter. Amnon rapes his sister Tamar. The other son, Absalom, kills Amnon for doing this. This causes great division between David and Absalom. And guess what? Absalom is a master politician. He's a populist. He goes out and he works the people. And the next thing you know, Absalom overthrows his own father. And David has to take exile with the enemy, the Philistines. And Absalom is now the king. But David wants the throne back. So what has to happen? Absalom has to die. Now there's a curious little twist in the story of David. Not only do David's suitors, spouses, have to die, but other people also have to die in order for David to maintain power. But it's never David's fault. He always walks up to his enemies and says, "The blessings of God be with you," and gives them a kiss and a hug. And over in the shadows is a guy named Joab. And just about everybody that David kisses and hugs and says, "Peace be with you," ends up dead. It's nearly a sign between him and Joab. There's a great battle. Absalom is killed. David is destroyed. You know the famous line in Scripture, "Absalom, Absalom, oh my son, if only I had died." And Joab pulls David aside and he says, "You cut that out. You know that had to happen. And you know I had to do it. So you get back out there." See, this is ruthless stuff. And David becomes the king again. And by this time, David has built a kingdom. He's no longer this tribal warrior who has taken over. He has a kingdom. He has a cabinet. He has a level of government that has 6 different departments. He's built a bureaucracy. He's building a kingdom. And then he gets old, and it's time for him to die, and he has to name a successor. And in a very intriguing little encounter, Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, comes into David on his deathbed just to make sure that Solomon is the one who gets named. And when Solomon becomes king, the story of David reaches its pinnacle. Because with Solomon, he is the most power-hungry king that the Bible presents to us. We always think of Solomon as, oh, the wisdom of Solomon. I want you to go read the 2nd chapter of 1 Kings. Because as soon as his father David is dead, the 2nd chapter of 1 Kings goes through every person that ever had anything against David and kills him. You familiar with the movie The Godfather? You remember the final scenes of that movie? When Michael takes over for Don Corleone, the closing scenes of that movie, the first thing Michael does is he goes out and he eliminates all the enemies. Solomon does the same thing. Our little title, it's in your pew Bible, I think. You know how the Bibles give us little titles? The 2nd chapter's title is Solomon Consolidates His Reign. Solomon So by the time Solomon has built his power, he has 8 departments in his bureaucracy, plus he's divided the country up into 12 regions. Now, one of the new departments that Solomon creates is the Department of Forced Labor. It's a nice way of saying slavery, okay? The Department of Slavery is created by Solomon because he's got a lot of work that has to be done building all this stuff that he wants to build. Twelve governors of different regions, and it says to provide for him. One region per month has to provide all the supplies for Solomon's kingdom. And it's a lot to supply. Now, curious enough, these are not the 12 tribes of Israel. These are just 12 governors. Because guess which tribe of Israel does not have to supply? The tribe of Judah. Solomon's commerce grows. He builds alliances all over the area by marrying all of these different wives. That's the way he builds his alliances. But there are enemies out there. There are enemies of people who had been decimated by David when David was building his kingdom. They're in exile in places like Damascus and Egypt, but they're remembering. And as soon as Solomon dies, it all comes apart. And we have two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Judah is the small kingdom, which is basically Jerusalem, and the kingdom of Israel surrounds it. And there's a place in the story that says, so Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam, who is the leader of Israel, reigned over the Israelites who were living in the town of Judah. But the king of Judah was overthrown. All Israel stoned a messenger to death who went to try to make peace. And the scriptures tell us, Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. And this is a struggle that continues today in the Middle East. Now, I tell you this story about David so that we can understand in our time and our place that our country, love it as we do, cherish it as we do, defend it as we do, our country, just like King David and King Solomon, is never, ever totally innocent. That we are involved in activities where people suffer. That power always has a cost. And there are people who still want to be king, and there are still many people saying, we want a king. And so I would suggest to us two texts that are very important for us to look at this particular week are the text of 1 and 2 Samuel and the first 12 chapters of 1 Kings and the Declaration of Independence. Put them side by side and reflect on that a while. Amen. You know, there's a little story in 1 Kings when David was that guerrilla warrior and he was hiding in caves with his men, and the community around David was hungry. And so he went to the priest and he said, "We need food." And the priest says, "All we have is the holy bread." And guess what? The priest gave David the holy bread, the show bread, and said, "Here, feed the people." In many ways, that story and the whole story of David reminds us that our scriptures are about us, about people. People in the struggles of life, whatever those struggles are. Countries struggling. So as we turn to our scriptures, may we be reassured that regardless of our times, regardless of our struggles, the presence of God is with us. Always. Remember that. Amen.